As God deals with each of us on a daily basis, He deals with us as children. He doesn't deal with us as just people. Now, last Sunday, when I began this series of focusing on our callings, God says that each individual has a special calling from Him. So last week, I explained in my message, I hope, that each one of us have that special calling direct from God. And the title of my series is Live Your Calling. Live Your Calling. Now, what if God decided not to live His love for us? What if God decided not to take on any more children of faith? Where would you and I be if God, because He woke up some morning and didn't just feel good, that He thought, no, I'll sort of let fall by the wayside the calling that I know that God has given me? Every individual has a calling direct from God. Now, this morning, I want us to look at called to be loved. We're called to be loved. Let me read Ephesians 1, verses 4 and 5. Long ago, even before He made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His holy family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave Him great pleasure. Now, God says, I want you to understand something, Larry, and He's speaking to each one of our hearts. God says, my first purpose, the first purpose of my life, your life, Larry, is that I'm going to love you. My first purpose was to be loved by God. Now, you think about that. My first purpose was not to worship God. My first purpose was not to go out and work for God. The first purpose for me was that God was going to show me how much He loved me. Now, doesn't it make common sense for each of us, and common sense is not common in this generation, but doesn't it really touch your heart to understand that God says you have to understand that I love you no matter what in order for you to even love me back? I can't love God on my own. I can't get up one morning and say, okay, I'm going to love God today. I'll take care of the devil's part tomorrow. It doesn't work that way. God said, I created you to be the recipient of my love. I wanted to give my love, God says, and I gave my love to you. Don't you think that makes us sort of His family? God says, I love you, and it gave me pleasure and gives me pleasure to love you. Everybody is waiting around and thinking that God is going to sit up here with the gavel and just waiting for us to make a mistake and say, I got you. Well, God's got me, but He don't have me that way. God said, I love you. I want you to accept my love. And I'm going to make my love so overwhelming within you that the world will wonder, what's different about you? The first purpose of my life is to be loved by God, so I have a purpose, and that purpose did not require me to do anything. Jude 1, verse 1, this is a half-brother to Jesus. This letter is from Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and a brother of James, I am writing to all who are called to live in the love of God the Father and in the care of Jesus Christ. He said, I'm writing to those of you who've accepted the love of God. Did you ever love someone and then they not return that love? Did you ever have the love and the heart for a situation and that situation in your life became so corrupt that love was impossible? Did you ever look at your own individual life and say, I don't know how God could love someone like me? He happened to have created the someone like you, and he created you for a purpose. Each one of us have a purpose, a special calling by God. That's what weaves the body of Christ together. One person cannot represent the totality of the love of God through Jesus Christ. It takes the body. The body is called the bride of Christ. The body is the church. And the church is the recipient of God's love. Now, my first calling, your first calling, here we're getting into them. My first calling is to enjoy a relationship with God. Romans 1:7, dear friends in Rome, God loves you dearly, and he has called you to be his very own people. I'm a people person. But the more you read Scripture, you'll find out that through Jesus Christ, you are God's people person. And God says, I have a calling for you. And many within the church today throw up their hands and say, I don't know what the calling is. Well, do you know that you don't even have to know what God's calling is for God's calling to be worked in your life? You know, I don't have a calling. All I do, I go to church and I smile at people and tell them that I know God loves them and hug them. You think that's not a calling? You think that's not a gift from God? God wants us to understand something first and foremost. I love you, Larry. If you don't think God loves you, don't you understand enough to know if God didn't love us, we wouldn't be here? Look how corrupt our society is. Look how corrupt many churches are, refusing to proclaim the truth of what Jesus says because they don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I do not proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to hurt anyone's feelings. I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they will understand the feeling of love that God is offering. It's in the gospel. I love you, Larry. I went to the cross for you, Larry. I died. I took your beating. I took care of all the sins that you've ever committed or ever will commit. That was taken care of on the cross. Larry, I was buried in a tomb for you. I wanted you to see and hear the story about me coming back from the grave in 3 days, just like I said I would. I want you personally to understand that story. That's what makes us special. Now, when you read the scripture and you say God is not a respecter of person, that scripture focuses on you can only come to God through Jesus, his son. He is not a respecter of person. He doesn't care whether you're a king. He doesn't care who you are or what you believe in. He's telling the truth. You can only come to me through my son, Jesus. It's amazing. When Paul is writing to his dear friends in Rome, and he says, God loves you dearly. Now, that relationship that you and I have, that relationship is so powerful, and we often forget this, or we don't think about it as we should. That means that then I become a son of God, you become a daughter of God. We're adopted as sons and daughters. You happen to be a brother. You're blood related to Jesus. When you said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you got a blood transfusion. You got a little bit of Jesus running in you, and it only takes a little bit of Jesus running in you to change a world. Jesus conquered sin on a cross. As ornery as we are, he looked at us to come in the future and said, I love you. Will you stand in my love? 1 John 3:1. What an incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us, that we should be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. How much love? Now, I know parents. I'm a parent. And at a certain age, normally within the teen years, you lose your son or daughter. The aliens take over their mind and their actions. And they have some of the worst cases of the stupids that you'll ever see. And the reason that you realize that is you went through it. God says to me, I know you are human, and you're my human. You're my son. My love supersedes all of the alien encounters you're ever going to have. The world takes over the mind. Ideology, however you want to say it. I'm Kentucky. Ideology. If it's wrong, it's wrong. God says, follow me. When I said yes to Jesus Christ, I promised to follow him. From that day, I guarantee you, Satan has done everything he can to kick me out of the pulpit. You ought to be thankful, Christian, that every morning you get up, Satan is angry. Oh no, she's up again. Take another pill and go back to sleep. Picture Satan, because you have something to offer to the world through the love of God. And Satan wants to bar your way, but he has a problem. You're the child of a king. You're called by God, and your calling is never, ever taken back. Once called, always called. When God gives you a calling and allows you to be born to follow through with that calling that you have is special for you, your personality, to who you are. Get about God's business. Keep your nose out of everybody else's. You serve God, and you serve God through his love that he has for you, not through your love that you say you have for him. Oh, I just love the Lord so much. Well, you and I need to express God's love instead of talk about it. You know, you love your wife. So you don't come home for 2 or 3 months. You're gone. And you call. And the locks have been changed. And you say, but I love you. I haven't seen you. Who was this again? Think of it. Do we not do that to God? Do we not shut the door and lock it so often and say, Lord, leave me alone. I just don't even want to talk about you today. I'm talking about Christians. Think about the world, the lost world. Oh, then that Christian could say, wait a minute. I'm down on everything in my life is falling apart. The only thing I have left is prayer. That is so sickening. The only thing you have to begin with is prayer. The only hope you have that America will be delivered from tyrants is in prayer. God said, I will lift you up. I will make you strong. Preach for me, teach for me, stand for me. But do something for someone besides yourself. In Christ, we can experience God's powerful relationship love. See, I'm not just talking about love. I'm talking about relationship love. That relationship love is the blood love. And it doesn't have anything to do with biological blood. Folks, I can tell you without any reservations whatsoever, this church I love and walk with closer than I do my own biological brothers and sister. It's different. It's the love of God. Ephesians 3:17-19. I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. You notice? You say, I want more of Jesus. How about trusting in him a little bit more? How are you going to get that love if you don't trust? God's not going to waste love. Jesus isn't going to waste love. He shows us all this love and then we don't appreciate it or do anything with it. Why should he give us any more? Why should he show us more grace if we don't appreciate the grace he's already given us? May your roots go down deep in the soil of God's marvelous love, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. See, you can't understand true love. I truly love you. No, you don't. You don't even know what true love is. True love is the agape love, or true love is the love of God. I can experience the love of God, but I cannot show you that love. God says, I want you to take who I am in you and share that part. You and I are each one a part of a great puzzle. And that puzzle must work together to get put together to glorify God. God says, I want you to experience a relationship love. Now, when you're in a relationship with Jesus Christ, that's the greatest love you're ever going to receive. Then why are we ashamed to profess that we are Christians out in the meeting places, in public? Oh, no, now Christians are really getting put down. The reason Christianity is being put down, Christians are not living like Christians. Christians are not lifting up the voice of Jesus Christ the way that we should. We ought to stand up, take the beating better than a Timex, and keep on clicking for Jesus. Love is wide enough to be everywhere. Listen to these. Love long enough to last forever. Love deep enough to handle anything. And love high enough to overlook my sins. When God speaks of overlooking, not that he doesn't pay attention, but he cleans the sin out, and we are presented to him by Jesus, his son, as a child of the king. I want us to look at the changes, and look at the changes where you will know, where each of us can understand that the changes that happen in me and happen in you, if I stay aware of God's powerful relationship love. Again, it's a relationship love that he has for me, that he has for me, and he has for you. Change number one. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. Folks, if all the earth come against you for standing for the truth of Almighty God, and you are put on display as a Christian, and you stand on display as a Christian, though the world will attempt to stone you, all the heavenly host will be watching. All the heavenly host will be cheering you on. All the heavenly host will sing hallelujah. And as that heavenly host is looking on, They're reporting to God. Your enemy has never had to deal with someone who tells God on them. Seriously. Lord, I need to preach your word like you've called me. There's a mountain away. There's a Goliath there. Larry, you take off. I'll take care of the mountain. I'll take care of Goliath. Romans 5:1. By faith, we have been made acceptable to God. By faith, I'm acceptable to God. What faith? I believe that Jesus Christ is who he claims to be. He is the Son of God. Not just was, he is the Son of God. He is watching over me through his Holy Spirit that he allowed to be in me because I believe. By faith we have been made acceptable to God, and now, because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. The closer you walk with God, the more enemies you're going to have in this world. Oh, you think you're so holier than thou? You'll hear that one. Holy simply means you're set apart for God's service. So if someone says, oh, look, he thinks he's holy, if you're a Christian, you don't have to think it. You are. You're set apart for God's service. That's the meaning of the term, Romans 8, 33, 34. If God says his chosen ones are acceptable to him, can anyone bring charges against them, or can anyone condemn them? No, indeed. They can't. They can talk all they want, but God says, I won't hear them. As the world gets more negative, the Christian, the church, ought to stand up and be more positive. Folks, this is not the end of the United States of America as you witness all the evil that is taking place in Washington and throughout the rest of the country. It's not over. God says, if my people, hear me. Turn back to me. Repent. I will heal their land. He didn't say if everyone would hear. He said my people. I happen to be a people of God. God says, you belong to me. Therefore, I understand something. I feel accepted rather than ashamed. How can I be ashamed when God says, keep it going? You preach. It's not my responsibility to make one accept. My responsibility, my calling is to preach it. If the Holy Spirit in his condition, Holy Spirit convicting that individual, and that individual reject the power of the Holy Spirit, I don't have a shot. That's not my job. And God says, preach it and proclaim it. Change number two. I am bold in bringing my needs to God. Think of it. I feel accepted. Now, maybe I'm down in every situation that's going on in my life. And I go to my Father in heaven and say, Lord, I messed it up. I'm his child. Parent? How many times have you described that child and hugged that child and said, it's a mess up, but you're still my child? That's God. I am bold in bringing my needs to God, Romans 8, 14 through 15. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, so you should be not like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children, adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. And since we are his children, we will share his treasures, for everything God gives to his Son Christ is ours too. Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Father, I'm coming to the throne of grace. Why would I fear coming to the throne of grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Why would I fear coming to God's throne of grace when I know that I didn't deserve to have it to begin with? But God gave me grace. When God speaks of a throne of grace, it's His throne. The grace that God gives is so all-powerful that every enemy you have or ever will have can never stop you. Because of grace, unmerited favor, through me accepting Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Change number three, I have peace in pain that I don't understand. Folks, do you remember ever being completely broken? You might be completely broken right now. You think there's no hope for you. I got news for you. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, He's the only hope you will ever need. It's already done. When you said yes to Christ, the only thing you're waiting for now is to finish the calling He's given you to do on earth. Because there's a party waiting. Supper times are coming. And when supper time comes, Jesus is seated at the table. Holy Spirit is there with you. God the Father says, "Welcome in. I see you're wearing my clothing. I'm shielded by Christ, given power by His Spirit. And I have peace right in the middle of the pain that I don't understand." It's got to be God. Change number four. I gain the courage to take risk. You know, I've never understood the individual who says, "Oh, I have faith, but I just can't take that step." Well, that's not faith. That's doubt looking for proof. That's not faith. Oh, I read it, you know, up here in my human mind, I have a little belief structure there. Your human mind's messed up, right? You ever forget your car keys? Let me tell you when you're really in trouble. Not when you forget your car keys, it's when you forget what those keys are. You got a problem. Is it not the same when you forget who Jesus is in you? Is it not the same that you can talk about who Christ is? But folks, Jesus didn't tell us just to talk about it. We are to show with our human condition, show them the proof of the love of God. You stand strong. You take the risk. The risk for what? You know, when I look at that, when after I had done it, I thought, gosh, you know, living for Jesus isn't any risk to it at all on me. But it's the battle that I will fight, and you will fight with this human condition. I ain't going there. I don't know what's going to happen. I will trust God as soon as I find out what I'm trusting Him for. That's not trust. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. When you're afraid, you're being punished. I'm a child of the King. Jesus Christ took my punishment for me. Do not waste the blood of Jesus. Do not put down the blood of Jesus. Oh, yeah, but He didn't die for the sins ahead of me. Well, I got news for you. If He died for the past sins, He'd been dead over 2,000 years, people. Well, yeah, but He died for the sins of my past. You weren't around 2,000 years ago. Jesus died for the sins of those who will call out to Him. And He will drive out the fear, because fear has to do with punishment. And then that would mean, listen, I'm guilty of this like a lot of you. Yeah, God loves me and God forgives me. But the consequences of your sins, you will suffer. Well, let me put something out there for you. I will only suffer the consequences of those sins until I turn that over to Jesus and realize that I don't have to suffer those. Is that not the punishment? Is not suffering for our sins, is that not punishment? The consequences of them? And Jesus says, I took your punishment. So the only reason that I'm having to deal with it and fight with it today, you won't turn it loose. Here's the last one. Change number five. Worship instead of worry. Worship instead of worry. Now listen to this. Matthew 6, 31 through 34. So don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. He will give you all you need from day to day if you live for Him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. You amen that one, won't you? I mean, you got enough that you got to deal with right now. Well, God could bless you. You'd be dead by this afternoon. Yes, that is a blessing, folks. That is a blessing. God says today's trouble is enough for today, meaning if you don't trust me in today's troubles, what makes you think you're going to trust God for tomorrow? I mean, you don't even know the troubles that are coming tomorrow, and the closer you walk with Jesus, all hell's coming against you. Romans 6, verse, second part of verse 13. Give yourselves completely to God, since you have been given new life. You see, God does not just need to be a small g byword. The God we serve is a big G, and He's not a byword. He is God. And He says, I sustain you by my word. Not a byword. It's my word I will plant in your heart. John 1 verse 12. To all who believed Him and accepted Him, Jesus gave the right to become children of God. If you don't believe that, you got a problem in your relationship with God, in your relationship through Christ. Folks, we have been given the love of God freely. God stood back, watched His own Son, His only begotten Son, go to a cross for sins He never committed, take a beating, your beating, my beating, for a person that He had never met personally. But the Bible tells me He knew me before I was born. That's love. God allowed me to walk that aisle. I came under conviction. He allowed me to walk that aisle knowing that after I accepted Him, I was going to sin, and He loved me anyway. That's the love that surpasses all understanding. Not that you and I go out and commit sin knowing we're forgiven for it, but that you and I understand something, that I have to reciprocate. I have to show God the love that He gives me. I must give it back to Him. I must give Him the love He's given me back to Him, because I'm family now. I'm family. And I'm a part of the family of God. There's no greater family. And it just don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, we ask your special touch upon each heart. Thank you, Father, for the great love that you give us. Father, speak to each one of us in the calling that you've given us, that we might truly be about your business. You've given us all the love we'll ever need. Help us now to stand strong and stand true for you in all we do. Help your love that is within us be passed on for those who wish to destroy us. We ask, Father, for your blessing, and we ask it in Jesus' name as we make commitments to you. Amen.